Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. We've got a round table of sorts. It's not really round. It's kind of rectangular. But we have experts in to talk about this from Decatur Memorial Hospital, from the Mink County Health Department, and big news from the Economic Development Corporation coming up at 8:30. Stay tuned.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. What a difference 21 hours has made. We left this show at 9 o'clock yesterday. The Big Ten tournament was going to be underway. Then the Big Ten tournament was going to be underway without fans. I will be stunned if the Big Ten tournament happens at all. The same with the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's almost March Madness, no March Madness. The NBA suspends the rest of their season indefinitely. One player at least has tested positive. And would you have guessed any of that to have happened in a 35-minute window yesterday afternoon, into the evening?
Absolutely not. And you can sprinkle a little Tom Hanks on top of it,
I know,
too,
I've the always, travel listen, ban. I don't know that Tom Hanks gets any special treatment, but Tom Hanks in this country is sort of this everyman guy, you know, that mm-hmm. people feel like they know because they like him and they watch the movies. He was just Fred Rogers, for crying out loud. And so the idea that he's in Australia making a movie and they are exposed to this, and both him and his wife, Rita Wilson, that was announced on Twitter last night. It does, as you said, put a face to it, right?
It's the first person that you or I know that have coronavirus.
Well, I don't know them.
No, but you, I mean, you kind of do.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I put less stock in that. I question how actors have access that other people don't have access. How did he get tested so quick in Australia versus what we're struggling with in this country, having enough test kits? So the numbers that you're looking at aren't anywhere near what the numbers actually are. I think most of us understand that and believe that. It is only a matter of time before somebody is actually diagnosed in Macon County. I think if you believe most people, there are people out there walking around right now with this. You know, people who've been on airplanes, people who've traveled to conferences, people who've done things. Yet we still keep looking at the number of deaths and we go, oh, well, you know, look at swine flu, or we talk about all these different things. We want to get some answers to all of that. And we've welcomed some experts and some guests and community leaders into the studios here today. And we want to introduce, first of all, Drew Early, CEO of Decatur Memorial Hospital, and Brandy Binkley, who heads up all the efforts at the Maine County Health Department. Drew, I will, before we get into our experts, do you feel like there's communication and coordination between the health department, the hospitals, city government, the mayor, you know, all the people that people are going to look to when and it, and not if, but when the first case is diagnosed here in Macon County?
Yeah, you know, the short answer is yes. There's a lot of moving parts going on right now, and really on a daily basis and really an hourly basis, we're getting new guidance from IDPH, and we're coordinating very, very closely with Macon County Health Department and across the health system and all of our other counties that we operate in. You know, similar story. So yesterday we had a session with Macon County Health Department. We're going to bring together a larger group, which might be frowned upon given everything that's going on.
But yeah, the headline yesterday was coronavirus conference canceled because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
And that's certainly the case. And Brandy, a lot of this is being driven through the Illinois Department of Public Health and from a national level down. This is a huge job. We haven't done this before. I mean, just looking in the world of sports, this has never happened in my lifetime. After 9/11, there were some baseball games that were postponed, but it wasn't that we wondered if it will ever happen again. I'm reading on LinkedIn, 14 pages yesterday is the office as we know it, you know, finished in this country around the world. This is stuff we've never dealt with before.
Right. It's definitely unprecedented, the response. And I think in a way that's good because people are paying attention, and the NBA and these places that are deciding to allow people to work from home, et cetera, they are making this a priority and realizing that we might be able to do something to prevent the spread of illness or to prevent it from happening so quickly. So I think it's good that people are paying attention. I do think it's important to note, while we haven't had something exactly like this before, we do have these collaborations and these partnerships in our community and then state, federal, all of the time. So it's great that we already have that communication, have the relationships, because we're implementing that more than ever.
All right. One bit of advice, though, is include the media in these discussions, because not everybody's following the Illinois Department of Public Health's Twitter account, you know, and to get the message to the masses. We know what to do if a tornado hits right now. We know what the plan is in Macon County to do if an ice storm hits, if there's X, Y, or Z. everyone's kind of in a never been here before land on this as far as public communications, because there's a fine line between educating and panicking people. We already know you can go to the grocery store right now, you can't find hand sanitizer. We know what people are doing, gouging people on Amazon, these third-party sellers on, you know, a bottle of Purell will set you back $30 on Amazon right now. Toilet paper's $1 a roll. Still haven't figured that whole one out. But make sure that we know what to do to encourage common sense reaction from the general public. And I'm not saying you wouldn't. I'm just saying this is sort of, we've not been here before. For instance, my curiosity is if there were to be a quarantine, we've watched this happen first in northern Italy, now all of Italy, you're seeing it in parts of Seattle. If that were to happen, who makes that decision locally?
So if there's a quarantine, there's guidance that is provided from a healthcare provider and from the health department working with IDPH. We also have had conversations with the state's attorney's office, with law enforcement, police, fire, that if there was a quarantine, how that can be implemented.
Yeah, but who decides there is a quarantine? Is it a county decision? Is it a city decision?
Ultimately, it'd be the state which would be making the call.
Okay.
Through the State Department of Public Health.
Okay, so they would literally be the one saying, you know, here are new rules for the time being.
Absolutely.
And then how does that get, you know, then how does that go from here's our thing we want you to do to then actual reality?
Yeah, I think what you're explaining is the real challenge with all of this. Anytime we're in an emergency situation where we're operating under circumstances that aren't normal, whether it's weather, whether it's an illness like this. Now, this is unprecedented. It's a totally different scale. However, communication always is the most key element to any of these plans. So making sure that we're talking with our providers, we're talking with our community partners, and you raise an excellent point. We've got to be communicating with the public so that they know what to expect, what's going on, what is their role in this. Because, you know, this isn't just about the health department or the hospitals trying to stem this. This is so large and so big that having everyone engaged, everyone doing the right thing, everyone thinking about what they need to be thinking about and doing their part. You know, I think you said it earlier in your earlier segment, this is going to be all about disruption and inconvenience. And I think having the public know really what that means, this concept of flattening the growth is something that we've really got to really start to think about, because this is going to happen. We're going to see it. It's going to grow. But the more we can do to flatten that growth curve, to slow it, so that the healthcare system, so that public health, so that all these agencies can start to get their arms around this and manage it in a much more controlled way, I think that is absolutely key right now.
All right, Dr. Ted Clark, Chief Medical Officer from DMH, this flattening the curve, this is a new phrase for me, right? And I tell you, this is the educational part. I read a piece in the New York Times yesterday, literally from a population health analyst who said his eyes were open, went to visit his daughter in Oregon, you know, flew out there, and on the way back, he's reading a piece that was in one of the financial publications, but basically comparing this to like the New York subway system or, you know, the in London or the tube, whatever you might do, and tell me if this makes any sense at all, is that basically the virus is spreading so fast that there is the potential to overrun the system's capacity, right? And comparing it to if you go to the subway in New York at varied hours, you can get on the subway, you get on the car, there's a seat for you there. At rush hour, there's 13, 14 people deep trying to wait for those seats to get on the car, and we want to avoid that in our healthcare system. Does that resonate with you?
Certainly. We experience this every year with the flu. We experience this with a large rush of patients each year. It's predictable. But this current outbreak is unpredictable, and it's, again, unprecedented, as everyone at this table has said. We have to think about this in terms of not how does this affect me, but how does this affect us. We have to think of this in terms as that we're a society, and we have to take care of one another. So I may cancel my travel plans not because I'm concerned about myself. I'm relatively young and relatively healthy, not because I'm concerned about my children, but because I'm concerned about my patients. And that's really what it's going to take in the minds of.
You're not going to be in that danger area if we just look at the numbers of who's dying from this. But that doesn't mean you can't carry that to somebody else who's in that danger area.
Exactly. And that's an important point for everyone in America to realize, and everyone in our local communities to realize, is what they do affects the other people that could be more susceptible to this virus.
And there was a very simple graphic done by The Economist that this basically put a dotted line across the healthcare system capacity, right? And without protective measures, how far we go over that dotted line versus with protective measures, how we can manage this over time. And it made a lot of sense to me. Sometimes the medical world, you guys and your medical speak, you talk to each other and it makes perfect sense to you, but you're trained in this. To the general public, I think sometimes breaking it down in very simple and easy to understand ways makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that graphic is perfect, and I think it explains exactly what we need to do. Like they use fast passes at Disney to flatten the curve. I mean, all these sorts of things to limit the number of people that are trying to get through the same door at the same time. And that's what all the public health measures we're recommending are.
Yeah, and then, of course, your own staff, right, Drew? I mean, as an administrator, you could probably, if a certain amount of your staff were quarantined or not able because they tested positive, you could run the hospital. But there's a tipping point somewhere where that's not possible.
Yeah, protecting the healthcare worker is really something that is starting to come to the forefront. And we're really putting a lot of thought into this because ultimately, if we're not there for the community, if our staff's not there for the community, we can't fulfill our mission. We need to be there. So, we're taking active steps. We're actually getting ready to go into a half a day full planning session this afternoon. We're pulling in resources from all of our different communities across Memorial Health System to really get our arms around this, because this is not all about one hospital. It's about all of these hospitals, all of these different community agencies, departments of public health, community partners to get our arms around this. But at the end of the day, if we don't have staff, we can't be there when the community needs us. So keeping our staff healthy, taking measures to make sure they're safe, they have the resources they need, they've got the protection they need so that they can be there when the community needs them is really important.
Yesterday, when I'm reading some folks who should know what they're talking about being 10 days away from hospitals getting creamed. I mean, this is why you're seeing the cancellation of the NBA season. This is why you're seeing such drastic measures of not having, maybe at least the plan is now no fans, but I can't imagine that there will be another NCAA college basketball game or golf outing or soccer match or anything else, right?
Yeah, and it's really important to remember this is not just about coronavirus. There are still people that need us for other reasons. The healthcare system is still being utilized on a regular basis for people that have injuries or illness that are not related to this. So not only do we need to manage this new influx of patients that's related to this virus, but we've got to be there for all of the other community needs and whenever people need us.
Dr. Clark, the U.S. only has a certain number of ICU beds and ventilators, right? I mean, there is a finite supply.
Correct. Yes, there is a top end for this. But again, it comes down to flattening that curve.
And Carol, nurses are at the front end of all this, right? I have such great admiration for nurses because, I mean, they literally are the front line of all of this. You think about ERs, you think about, people who are presenting. And this is the crazy thing. Right now, we're in flu season, too. So as Mark was talking about a college player, being visibly sick, during the tournament last night, turns out it was influenza A he was diagnosed with. But now the flu becomes that much more scary.
Right. Yeah, we just need to remember that, and that's what we're doing when we're getting the calls, is screening them to see, have they been tested for the flu? Have they been tested for other respiratory illnesses before we move forward with the coronavirus testing?
And what about testing? I mean, I keep hearing from Governor Pritzker. I would applaud the governor. They're doing daily briefings, which I think is very important to let people know that stuff is going on. But the shortage of testing kits, I mean, what is the truth about all of that?
I don't know if I know the truth about all that. All I know is we're working under the CDC and local health department guidance in terms of our criteria for testing.
And what is the criteria, Brandy? I mean, as far or whoever wants to take this, as far as testing, and can people get tested? Are there enough testing kits?
Well, there is a limited supply of testing kits. There are other labs trying to get the testing kits going and getting approval for that. So that will help once that gets established through them. Some of them have started yesterday, they said, or the 5th that they started. But they have limited supply right now. Right now, we're still going by CDC and IDPH's recommendation if they've traveled to those countries that have been under high surveillance, if they've been around somebody that's been confirmed, if they have a respiratory illness and it's not influenza or other respiratory illnesses and they've been hospitalized or they've been immunocompromised. So every day, that's changing too.
Yeah.
For our guidance.
Now, we've put together a special page on nauticator.com, and you can find all those Twitter feeds, all the latest updated information. None of it's panic stuff. It's just information that's available to you, and you can find it aggregated in one place, plus local stories and podcasts of all of the interviews that we do and all of that. And you can also follow the Illinois Department of Public Health Twitter feed there, also the CDC for updated, because it does change hourly. I would say it's, Brandy, safe to assume that we all operate as if we've all been exposed.
I think so. I think we all need to definitely be taking precautionary measures that we would normally be doing around this time of year and all time of year, you know, as far as everybody keeps saying, wash your hands, stay home if you are sick. I know that could be very challenging, especially for those that work and they're part-time, don't have paid sick leave. It's very difficult to miss work, and then that affects their ability to pay their mortgage, their rent, whatever that might be. But stay home if you're sick, for sure. Make sure that you're keeping distance from people, not bringing together very large groups. You know, if you cough or sneeze, coughing into a tissue, throwing that away. Wash your hands frequently as soon as you get home. Wash them at least. Go ahead.
Plenty of soap at the grocery store. Yesterday, the hand sanitizer aisle is decimated. Now, the soap, much more effective. We talked to Tanya earlier this week. You can read. No one's ever read the instructions on the back of a bottle of Purell, I promise you. I'm not getting paid by Purell. I'm just looking at what's here. But you're supposed to spray this stuff on and let it air dry. But what does everybody do? They spray it on and they rub their hands together instantly, which dramatically can change whether that's impactful. Washing your hands multiple times a day with hot water and soap, 20 to 30 seconds, is much more impactful.
Yes, I think it's very important and a learning thing. I think a lot of people just assume it's common sense to wash your hands and that you do it for 20 to 30 seconds. But some people may have never been taught that. They may have never been taught how to do it where it's actually going to be adequate and actually going to work. So I think even getting basic messages out like that right now is something that we all need to be doing, sharing, whether we are employers, social service organizations, whatever we are, whoever can help with that message to get that out. And that's another call to action that, you know, we want to make sure as a community that everybody is thinking about what they can do right now to prepare for when there's a case and how many cases there are. And if there is a quarantine and everybody's having to stay home, people can't go to work, people are taking care of themselves or others that are sick. And this is not just, you know, the healthcare system that has to plan for and address this. We are going to need the entire community to be pitching in, to be thinking outside the box of how they can respond to all of these needs.
And I will tell you, Dr. Clark, you can look at what Israel is doing right now if you want to see whether it works or not. Now, they have the strictest rules enforced anywhere on the globe. They have had zero deaths and only 17 infections in an area where are a lot of that. I mean, does that play into the argument that overcompensating or overabundance of caution is the right move?
I think there's a lot that could be drawn from looking at what has happened in other countries. If you look at Italy, they took more of a, well, let it be type approach, and now they're really trying to rein that in with more aggressive measures. But the countries that have been more aggressive, such as Israel and South Korea, I think have had some success against the virus.
And that, I think, is the argument that it's okay to inconvenience people, because in the long run, as they search for a vaccination, as they try to get more test kits, if we spread this out and slow it down, we're able to catch up on all of those issues. I mean, is that the hope at the end of the day?
That's exactly the hope. Yeah. And just the public hygiene measures. I've been in the ER the last few days and I don't have much skin left on my hands. And that's just the way people need to approach this. You just have to wash feverishly.
All right. Drew, as an administrator, as a community leader, the economic impact on this is going to be gigantic. I mean, the ripple effect, you just take a basketball tournament, and it's tough for those college kids. You know, that means the world to them. But you know what? It's right to cancel it. But then when you cancel it, it's not just that team. It's the hot dog vendor and the Uber driver and the restaurant and the hotel and everything. I mean, it's recruiting for next year's class. It's what all this does to our immune systems for the next flu season. I mean, we're going to be dealing with the ramifications of this for a very long time.
Yeah, this is not a short-term thing. This is not something we're going to deal with in days and weeks. This is months and months of us really understanding how this is going to unroll. And frankly, one of the best case scenarios is that this develops slowly, hopefully it does, with all of these precautions that we're taking over a period of a relatively lengthy amount of time so that the system can absorb these patients. But, you know, I don't know that anybody really fully appreciates how wide-ranging this is going to be. We've seen it in the stock market. We've seen it with, you know, with March Madness, with no fans. I mean, this is just uncharted territory for us as a country and a society. And the extent of this is really yet to be seen.
And Brandy, you mentioned, and I know that the federal government and even the state government's trying to look at unemployment and other ways to help bridge a gap, because I mean, Tom Hanks will be okay. He's got the resources. You know, Mark Cuban's going to survive not having a few basketball games. I worry about the people down the line as this ripples out. There are a lot of people that are going to be impacted significantly in their life financially by this.
Right. And I think that we all need to be worried about those people and worried about our neighbor and, you know, everyone in this community, because their financial and physical and mental and emotional health impact our entire community. So I think it's important for all of us to feel a responsibility for that and to try to find ways to creatively address that. I know we are already bringing groups together and asking organizations like the United Way to start looking at and planning for if kids are in school and schools are closed and they're getting a meal with free and reduced lunch, if they aren't at school, they may not receive a meal that entire day. So we do already have groups looking at what can be done to get those meals to those children or other vulnerable populations without bringing them all together in a group, but still getting them food.
Yeah, there's a whole description called ALICE now that you can look at, you know, where people get significantly impacted by just about any kind of ripple. But this ripple we've never seen before. One other thing about the cleaning and washing your hands. I can't help but think in 2020, we carry around Petri dishes with us more than we ever have. I have my Yeti bottle. I have my phone. I have my tablet. These surfaces that would seem to sort of, I mean, is that different than 30 years ago as far as just carrying stuff around with us?
I think there's certainly some new disease-carrying vectors that we have in our lives. Probably our phones are the most prominent.
Well, you see studies about, you know, how dirty phones are. I mean, this goes back to the education part. I mean, Lindsay makes fun of me. I clean my iPad and my phone every night. I mean, like, literally, because it just freaks me out thinking that, like, toilets are cleaner than your phone. And yet, we have more of that. So maybe even basic education on beyond just washing your hands, making sure the stuff you're carrying through life with you is clean.
Right. Any frequently touched surfaces should be being cleaned. And one of the things that we also have been encouraging not just a person to do, but businesses, you know, schools, et cetera, is to make sure they're cleaning extra. If they weren't cleaning the light switches, the door handles, et cetera, extra, they should be doing that now for sure.
Saw a video yesterday that was put out by Decatur Public Schools where they were doing exactly that and showing parents what they were doing, which is, to me, just keep putting information out there. You don't panic. You don't need to run on the grocery store. Make sure you have prescriptions. I mean, have we talked about, like, what the China situation means? I mean, I'm not sure people understand where all their pharmaceuticals come from, supply chain management, all of that.
That's been something we've been watching really, really closely within Memorial Health System. You know, one of the first things we noticed was this was some supply chain challenges. Now, we've been able to manage through it very, very effectively. But when you think about where do our masks and where do our gowns and where do our gloves come from? Where do a lot of generic drugs come from? Now, Memorial Health System's been very fortunate, and we're sourcing from a number of different areas, and we've been able to get what we need. But that's not the case in some instances. So, you know, really managing through those things and watching, it shows you how globally connected we are.
Yeah, so that might be something that people put on a legitimate concern list, is making sure I have a good supply of the medication that I require.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely reasonable. And I think it's just use good judgment, use reason. You know, nobody's saying to create a bomb shelter in your basement, but, you know, having a few extra things around the house so you don't need to get out quite as frequently. And maybe it's a once a week shopping trip instead of, you know, every other day just to pick up a few things. You know, just being thoughtful about how we're approaching this challenge and preparing ourselves and preparing our families. But I think the worst thing we can do here is panic. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to stay educated, to stay up to speed on what's going on, and just be reasonable as we move through this.
All right. Well, listen, guys, we really appreciate you coming in. You're welcome anytime, of course. We want to make sure people have the right information. And with this story changing hourly, I mean, it is so easy for people to get down a bad path. And with, of course, Twitter and social media, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there about, you know, cures. There's a lot of bad information being passed along about hoax. I would just tell you, we've got a lot of really, really, really excellent medical people in this community that are doing everything they can behind the scenes to make sure our county is best taken care of. But it's not a matter of if, it's when somebody gets tested positive here, right? I mean, does everyone agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to think globally a little bit more about whether or not you're in a danger area as far as your demographic or age or health. Carrying it to somebody else is just as dangerous, and you got to think about them. Dr. Clark, we really appreciate your expertise. I like the Vulcan sign idea. We're trying to figure out how to the elbow thing is way too awkward for me. I've got to I really have to consciously decide not to shake people's hands. It's just a gut instinct thing to do. So we'll come up with an alternative. But just those kind of common sense things, keep doing it. Brandy, we appreciate the health department and your work in this. I know it's a big task. You got to kind of deal with everybody, but keep us posted, and we'll keep sharing the information out with everyone else.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And Carol, thanks. Tell all the nurses up to keep their chin up. They got a tough job. They're on the front lines of everything. And Drew, from a community leader's point of view, educating people, keeping people informed, that's the best way to go here. And then whatever we can do as a community to support each other, because there's a lot of small businesses I just feel like are going to be severely impacted.
Yeah, this is important work. We need to be here for the community, and we're glad to do it.